In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is Orthodoxy Sunday. We celebrate the return of the icons to Orthodox churches in 843, the middle of the 9th century. No state has the authority to restrict the fullness of the Christian faith to its own limited vision. Whether it is an imperial state or whether it is a democratic state, we cannot change the reality of things by human power or by voting that we would like to have the world different than it is. In 730, the emperor Leo the Isaurian and his son and his grandson banned icons for 100 years. In Constantinople, Istanbul, not far from the great 6th century church of Hagia Sophia, stands the church of Hagia Irene, the Holy Peace. The Second Ecumenical Council was held there in 381. Under Leo's son, Constantine V, the church was rebuilt, and the icon of the Theotokos that had been in the apse behind the altar was replaced by a simple cross. I have seen it high up there in that half circle area behind where the altar once was. An icon of the Theotokos, the Mother of God, is an icon of the incarnation of Christ in and through our humanity, the humanity of a woman, the Theotokos. She assures us that our humanity is hidden in Christ. Only through Him, only through oneness with God, can we be fully human. That is the importance and the significance of the icon. The last of the three iconoclast, that is, icon breaker emperors, died in 842. And to the joy of all of the faithful, Theodora, the wife of the dead emperor, restored icons to the churches and the monasteries, openly in the monasteries, because of course they had hidden them. Although they worshipped as Orthodox, Leo and his son and grandson only believed in world power. Leo himself originally had become emperor by force. He entered Constantinople on March 25th, 717, and made himself emperor. And as far as the world was concerned, he did a better job than the Christ-chosen emperor had done. He successfully defended the city against the second siege of Constantinople. He imposed baptism on all the Jews in the empire and demanded their service. And he issued a series of edicts against icons. St. Nikolai Velimirovic says that the Isaurian emperors cast down icons because they rejected the realities behind them, the reality of our actual relationship to God, the reality of our identity as human beings. The God they worshipped was a God of worldly power. They were not atheists, but they could only understand God in their own image and likeness of worldly power. They thought of Christ God as a distant emperor, powerful but not present here and now, but more like themselves than the worldly weak Jesus Christ revealed by the icons. Around us here are icons of Christ-like men and women. Only one among them is an icon of Christ. But these people became themselves by leaving lives separate from God and entering into God through Jesus Christ, the door into who we are. We stand among them and we include ourselves among them. Every day in our homes, we stand along with them in the presence of God, not in isolation, not alone. What did you think your icon corner was about? Me alone praying before the likeness of a distant king? The focus of the gospel for Orthodoxy Sunday is on Nathanael, the first called, the first to respond to Christ and recognize him as God and the Son of God. To begin with, Nathanael answered Philip with skepticism. How can any good come from Nazareth? But even so, he went to see Christ, and he found himself already known by him. God is not a distant ruler, as Leo, the iconoclast, the icon breaker, thought. God knows us before we become ourselves, and God is constantly with us. Icons present the reality of the intimate presence of God along with all eternally faithful saints in our life. We are not alone among strangers, unlike ourselves, and that is how we feel in this world. Isolated amongst strangers, not like ourselves. Jesus Christ lived for 30 years in Galilee, and as St. Nikolai says, he never put himself forward or imposed himself. He was seen and known as meek as a lamb, but he was mighty God. Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said, "Behold, a man in whom there is no guile." Nathanael was a man filled with the very opposite of guile. Thoughts of God, yearning for God, seeking God, hoping not in the world, but only in God. That was the source of his skepticism. "We have found him. He came from Nazareth." But Nathanael's response was, "I have no faith in the things of this world. How can anything good come from that place?" Nathanael was a man in whom evil had found no way to take root. He was a true man among false men. Jesus revealed to him that he knew him, and that was enough. In our youth, we often ask, "Who am I? How do I fit in?" If we let him, God, who knows us before we know ourselves, will lead us into who we are and who we belong among. Without icons, without living icons, there are no Christians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.